The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hello there, folks. I have a very special guest, a really dear friend. His name is Bob Mazakowski. What is that, Polish?
Yes.
Bob, most people, we've been friends for probably 25 years, something like that. We met through our friend BJ Weber. You have a story that I never know how to do this justice. So let me just lay it out, and then we'll go back. Your name's Bob Mazakowski. Most people call you Muzz, because who wants to say Mazakowski? You live in the inner city of Chicago. You started a Christian high school. Mm-hmm. What year did you start it?
We bought closed Catholic school in 2004, opened the school in 2005.
Okay.
Yeah. High school.
And I was there. I remember when you were doing all the, you know, whatever, renovations. So this is a wild success, but the story is wilder than the success of Chicago Hope. Because this is it's a serious Christian school. It's not like a Christian school like Saint So-and-So. No. This is a real Christian school in the inner city. Overwhelming minority population, tremendously successful. But I want to go backwards to how you got into all this stuff and to tell your story. So before we go backwards, let me give you an opportunity to say, you know, tell us about Chicago Hope.
So Chicago Hope Academy is a high school. Everybody says you should start with young kids, of course, but they're cute and adorable. But at 14... 15, 16, a kid will hit you back. And that's where a lot of people ruin their lives in high school.
A kid will hit you back.
Yeah, I mean, a 14, 15, and 16-year-old is not a cute little 6-year-old. You can't remediate somebody at 14 probably to Harvard, but you can make them a good man and a good woman. And so that's what we're trying to do at Chicago Hope. The scripture's on the wall as you walk in the front door, so you know who we are. We're not
the scripture is on the wall as you walk in the front door.
Throughout the entire building. So there's okay. So many people are apologizing for their faith. I mean, we're not doing that. We're getting gunned down in the street in massive numbers. God is the least of our problems. So right. If you get offended because we have script, and it cost us millions of dollars. We didn't get charter school money, which we were offered under Mayor Daley. But we didn't get the money because we have chapel and we're a Christian school, which is ridiculous, right? But,
so they didn't give you the money because you're too Christian.
Well, you can't.
So you got to find.
It's a distortion of the separation of church and state.
Oh, I know. Right? I give speeches on that distortion. But yeah. I visited
independent school. Independent school, no government money.
I visited the school, and we've been friends for a long time. But your story is so crazy, and it explains how you got to a place in life where you were willing to take your family, 7 kids, move to the inner city. To do this. What year did you guys move?
Well, the 88. So that's not really what happened. People think we had this plan. We moved to Chicago as newlyweds, Tina, my wife and I, and she was a spot trader, registered pound trader. I had a new job, and we moved there. And by mistake, took a rehabbed brownstone, and it turned out to be 2 blocks from Cabrini Green, the worst housing project in America.
Yeah, but guess what, Bob? You stayed.
Yeah, we stayed.
Yeah, you stayed. You stayed, yeah. And you're still there.
Yeah, well, they knocked Cabrini Green down, and we moved to the west side. They took the ball field away, and the little baseball really is what morphed the whole thing.
Okay, so we've got it. First of all, there's a book. It's called Safe at Home. This book tells the story of what? Because it doesn't tell about the school.
No, it tells the story of the Little League baseball program. So long story short.
When are you going to mention Keanu Reeves?
Okay, you can. He's got warts.
I know.
So I started having a catch with some of the boys. I bought them baseball gloves. They were in those days.
Hang on a second, because I'm serious. Like, you got to I want people to understand.
Okay.
Your story that's in this book, Safe at Home, Bob Mazzucchelli, was turned into a Hollywood movie starring...
Keanu Reeves.
Thank you. You
and
mentioned
Diane, Diane Lane.
And Diane Lane.
Yeah.
Okay, but Keanu Reeves plays you?
Correct.
That's hilarious.
He misplays me.
That is so hilarious.
I would prefer Bruce Willis.
He plays you.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm saying it's the story of you coming into the inner city, working with kids that are from broken homes and the whole story. That's kind of your start, right?
Yeah, so... I started having a catch with some of the boys. We had six or seven boys. I bought them baseball gloves. I said, put these posters up on the telephone poles, 20 little posts, literally try out Saturday morning. And if we get seven or eight more boys, we can have a team. And 300 boys show up. And we become the biggest black little league in America.
That's the story of Safe at Home.
Correct. Yeah.
Now, when you say the biggest black little league in America, that was in Chicago.
Correct.
Okay, but you started this... In New York.
No, the second league was the East Harlem Little League in New York on 112th and Madison.
Okay.
Which is still
going. I want to go there because I want people to know you. I want people to get the backstory of Bob Mazzucchelli. I'm getting a crazy echo in my ear. Anyway, here's the thing. I know you through B.J. Weber.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't mind, I know you told this story on the program before, but how you came to be, you know, a fanatic for Jesus in the middle of the inner city working with minorities... I want to go back. So you grew up in?
Bayonne, New Jersey.
Bayonne.
The greater Newark area.
The bleeder from Bayonne.
Chuck Wepner. My neighbor fought Muhammad Ali, knocked him down in the eighth round, went the distance, and Stallone saw the Wepner-Ali fight and wrote Rocky in 3 days.
And that's true.
Rocky's about the Bayonne bomber, Chuck Wepner. And there were 10 guys in my neighborhood that could beat up Chuck.
So you grew up in a tough neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah.
But
nobody had guns.
Nobody had guns. In Bayonne.
Yeah. You get in a fight, fist fight, worst case a knife maybe, but you know, you had to fight. And when you have to fight, somebody can hit you back.
The
thing going on now is so cowardly, it's ridiculous. What could be more cowardly than driving by and shooting at someone?
I can't think
get
of
out
anything.
Of the car and punch me in the face.
So you, we're going to get to, I just want my audience, because there's so much to get into. Your story is so crazy. I just want to take it piece at a time. So you end up now, you start this Christian school in the inner city in Chicago. But to go backwards, you are raised in a tough area, Bayonne, New Jersey. What is your story? Are you thinking, I'm going to grow up and go to college? What are you thinking?
My father dropped out of high school to fight the Germans, World War II, as my uncles. And so
You crack me up. Your father dropped out of high school to fight the Germans.
Yeah, there's a picture
of my... You don't mean the kids from down the block. You're talking about the Nazis.
I have a picture of the Bayonne Times, my Uncle Lenny, my Uncle Joe, and my father, December 8th, 1941, signing up to join the Army and the Navy. So, So I came back working in a factory. My father died of lung cancer. I played football and baseball and basketball in high school and went to Columbia University to play football.
So you were a pretty good athlete.
Yeah, I got recruited to play. My father was dying at the time, and Bayonne is an hour from Columbia, so I chose Columbia. I was on that powerful 4-5-1 team.
What does that mean?
We weren't very good in football.
Oh, you mean the team was 4-5?
No, it's good for Columbia. When the whole school looks like Woody Allen, how are you going to win football games?
Actually, that's very funny because that's true. But wait, so you come, all right, you're an athlete, you go to college. Were other members of your family college bound even though you came from a tough place?
Yeah, everybody went to college. All my brothers and sisters graduated from college. Yeah.
Okay. So you go to Columbia. While you were at Columbia, some of the people that drifted in and out, there's a guy named Barry Sotero.
Barry Obama. I went to college.
But he became Barack Obama.
Correct, yeah.
But his name was Barry Sotero, wasn't it? He was a guy from Hawaii. Yeah,
he was
he
there.
He was smoking weed a lot.
He didn't know
that he would become president of the United States.
You know, he had a good answer for that. And former President Obama was a Columbia University student. So he transferred in as a sophomore from Occidental. And at the drinking age, was 18 at the time. My father had passed away in my senior year, and through graduate school, I ran the Columbia University pub.
You ran the pub?
Yeah.
That's good for an addictive personality.
Yeah, I'm 34 years sober alcoholic, so that was a perfect job for me. I was telling you in the car, George Stephanopoulos was around then, Governor Patterson of New York, and Governor McGreevy of New Jersey were all in that
and Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Man. Future president of the United States. Yeah. So you, okay.
He was a stoner, and to his credit, when they asked him about drugs and all that, he said, when I was young and stupid, I was young and stupid.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff.
But well, he was obviously young.
A stoner. And,
we were all young and stupid.
Yeah.
But so when we come back, folks, I promise you, you're not going to believe half of this story. It's an amazing story. The good news is it ends very well. Safe at Home is the book. Bob Mazakowski will be right back.
When running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and HR manager salaries aren't cheap, an average of $70,000 a year. Bambi, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small businesses. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month-to-month, no hidden fees, cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. Let Bambi help. Get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambi.com/Metaxas right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambi.com/Metaxas, spelled B-A-M to the B-E-E.com/Metaxas. Bambi.com/Metaxas. Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out.
Hey there, sports fans. I'm back with Bob Mazakowski, Muzz to most of us. Bob, again, your story's insane, and I want to take it in chunks because people need to really understand how you came to be the man who founds a school in the inner city of Chicago. It's been an insane success, Chicago Hope Academy. Your book is Safe at Home, made into a movie. Keanu Reeves plays you. Hilarious concept, because I know you. It's so funny. But you...
When I walked in, she thought I was Keanu.
She thought you were Keanu? I get that all the time. So seriously, though, you... when you were in Columbia and onward, let's cut to the chase. You were a wild man. You came from a tough neighborhood. You start doing coke like crazy. Tell us that part of your life.
Yeah, so... never took a drug in my life. Never smoked a cigarette, right? Maybe I took some speed. I remember we... for football games at Yale. We tied Yale 3-3 at Yale's homecoming. I remember taking speed for that.
Yeah, everybody at Yale looks like Woody Allen also.
I know. So we are without excuse.
Right.
So, and my senior year, I was admitted to a four-year program, business and law school, which is prestigious, but I didn't realize how fortunate I was at that time. And I was running the school pub, and a gentleman who has become a friend now, Art H., said, you look tired, try this. So it's 2:00 in the morning, which is insane now as a parent. We were open. The Columbia University pub was Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, open from 9 to 3 a.m. Like, and nobody was watching us. I'm talking about 600 or 700 people.
But this is like 1979, 80?
Early 80s.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So I...
you look tired, try this.
Snort cocaine. I never smoked a cigarette in my life. First time I took a hard drug. Second, and I stayed up all night studying. Second night I tried it. And the third night he came by and I said, is it cheaper if we get a lot of that? And in my book I said, I only did cocaine that first time. After that, it did me. And so it's just a horrible drug. I mean, what did you do this weekend? I spent $1,000. What did you do? I sat around and felt nervous. So anyway, I had a run with that and I quit. I didn't do it I was a streaker, you know, I wouldn't do it for a month, but when I did it, I'd be gone Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, you wouldn't see me. So after college, football, obviously wasn't good enough to play professionally or anything like that, so I picked up rugby, and there I meet B.J. Weber, the shepherd of Times Square.
Okay, you're working on Wall Street?
No, not yet. I was the labor relations director for Mayor Koch after graduate school. I ended up taking a master's degree in public administration. They offered me like $40,000, and I took it because I had a summer internship with the city. So I worked for Mayor Koch for 3 years.
Unbelievable.
During that time, I was playing rugby, and B.J. Weber, the minister, was playing rugby.
Our friend B.J., the Beachmeister, I got to have him on to tell his story, but he connected me to a million people. You're one of them. B.J., at that time, he was working with the pimps, prostitutes, drug addicts.
The Lamb's Church.
At the Lamb's Church in Times Square.
When it was bad.
When it was very bad.
Yeah.
So, but he was a rugby player. You pick up rugby. You meet B.J.
I'm playing my game. I played my game. The great thing about rugby is there's an A, B, and a C game, so everyone's going to get a chance to play, right? The second string guy's playing the next game and the third string. Everybody plays till you're gone, right? So the people who played in the first game are traditionally getting pretty drunk and wasted on the sideline while they watch the other games. And BJ is playing in the second game and is thrown out for fighting, which is hard to do in rugby because you could get a guy legitimately, you don't have to fight. So somebody says to me, that guy's a priest, and he's thrown out of the game for fighting. So I'm kind of digging this at the moment. And I had a sippy cup with cocaine in it, and I offered him some. And he's a minister. So he poo-pooed me, gave me his card, and Lamb's Church, and the next morning with a brutal hangover, I took it as a challenge. I go to the Lamb's Church, 130 West 44th Street, and I'm Catholic. And for the first time in my life, I'm seeing people call for a fair catch when they sing.
Nobody ever gets that joke.
I never saw.
Unless you see it visually. Yeah, but yeah. People lifting their hands worship,
sure.
You say calling for a fair catch.
And there were all kinds of people in there, from homeless people to middle-class people. And after it, everyone ate chicken or whatever it was. But the fact of the matter is I'd never seen anything like it. Like, this is church like it's supposed to be. This poor people, rich people, right? And I'm saying, don't you realize that guy smells? The guy next to you and the person just didn't care because they were all about Jesus, right? So I started to go to the church. I'm still doing my Jekyll and Hyde thing, right? And BJ invites me to the presidential prayer breakfast under President Reagan. We take a train down. He's going to go fellowship with his friends. I said, give me my ticket. I'll meet you later. And I ended up in a drunken bar fight, which is the opening scene of the movie. The bouncers were beating up a kid in a bar. So after 10 drinks, I'm Spider-Man. So I hit the bouncer. One of them broke a Heineken bottle, went from my face, put it through my hand. So I have a Heineken bottle embedded in my hand. I hit him with a beer mug. Police, assault with intent to maim, battery, malicious destruction of property. I have a $100,000 bail, empty seat at the prayer breakfast. So prayer breakfast is a dangerous thing, Eric. Just be careful when you go to that.
And yeah,
I'm not an alcoholic.
I've been to a couple of them, but nothing like that ever happened to me. Yeah. Nothing like that ever happened.
So I'm not an alcoholic or anything. I just went drinking in a place where I don't know anybody and all that. So B.J. Weber, Brad Curl, and Pat Ruane bail me out with $10,000 cash and lead me to the Lord outside of the jail.
So you were not led to Jesus until that incident.
Sure, yeah.
So this is what, 87?
84. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I come back, and my friend Dave V calls me, who was a drinking friend of mine, and said, I said, I just became a Christian. I'm going to in trouble. I'm going to go to trial for this bar fight, put a couple of bouncers in an ambulance. And he says, no, I quit drinking. Why don't you meet me tonight? And I end up at 79th Street Workshop. I end up prayed to receive Christ in the morning. Totally different person. I end up in an AA meeting by mistake. I didn't even know what it was.
AA meeting that night
in Manhattan.
And you didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And you've been sober for how many years?
Now
34.
Let's see. I lost count. A lot.
Okay, something.
Yeah.
All right, so
it won't be 37.
So this is 1984.
37.
Your life changes dramatically.
Yeah.
And now
still a sinner saved by grace, man.
But so now you and BJ get involved in starting a little league in Harlem.
No. I moved to Chicago.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And Chicago League was first. Then 2 years, had nothing to do with baseball. It was about Board of Trade guys, lawyers, doctors meeting kids from the projects. Had nothing to do. Every game opens with prayer. It's an overtly Christian program. All the coaches aren't Christians, but they kind of allow
but
that.
The idea
to
is like
Harlem was
white
second.
Guys with good jobs
and black guys
say, I
and,
okay,
and
but, I'm,
black
but, I'm,
guys.
But I'm saying
mostly
business
black.
Guys decide we want to give back, we want to do something in the community.
Sure.
So you create this idea that, hey, mm-hmm. why don't we do baseball with these kids?
Sure, because that's a natural way you meet a kid. And my friend Paul O'Gonner adopted three of the kids. Amazing. Some people just coach, and some people went so far as adopt kids, pay for their college. Amazing things happen when you meet somebody and you're their coach. And I remember after the first season, we had 18 teams. At one point, it grew to 64. And the kids, after the last game in August, the kids are like, what are we doing next week? And I'm saying to myself, the season's over, but I'm like, okay, we're having a cookout. And you become friends. In the movie, G-Baby is killed, but Brian Dixon is the real story. Bill Vranos, who's an orthopedic surgeon, coach, baseball guy, coach with me. We fixed up his bike for his birthday, and a week later they killed him for his bicycle. In the movie, he's G-Baby, the boy who's killed, and then Keanu Reeves has a catharsis okay. after that.
Well, so here's – so and to, but yeah. to sum up
– I've been shot at during baseball practice.
You've been shot at during
yeah.
baseball
yeah,
practice.
Yeah, they're not shooting at us, but they're shooting at someone else across the field. We're in the way.
Okay.
And that, that happens growing up. In Greenwich, that happens all the time.
Oh, yeah, sure.
People
Greenwich, Connecticut.
Yeah.
people don't know your sarcasm. They know my sarcasm a little bit. But honestly, Bob, you – when you come to faith – you just live out your faith without really thinking about it. To you, this is just normal, right? I'm going to go. I'm going to give back. I'm going to spend time in the inner cities, working with little kids. This is normal Christianity.
Yeah.
And that has led you into all kinds of places. And I guess you also found out that most people who go to church don't do this kind of Christianity.
Yeah. I'm not judging anyone because I'm a mess myself. But, you know, the Lord of the universe came down to earth, right? It doesn't go so good in the flesh, right? Getting beaten to death and nailed to a cross, you know? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And so I'm thinking the least we could do, to whom much is given, much is expected. That's on the walls you walk in, though. Much is required. That all this is going on, and like, we're not... Success in America today, Christ follower or not, is moving as far away from any poor people as you possibly can. There's no Jesus in that. Absolutely no Jesus in that. And so we think, as I told you about 2 years ago, there was a shooting at our opening kickoff with Providence Catholic, and a guy was shot dead at the front gate. Nothing to do with us, but it made a lot of national news. We're supposed to go towards that. This violence and everything, or what's going on in the city, we're not supposed to run away from that as Christ followers. We're supposed to go into it, right? Not for everybody, but there's three things you can be. You can be passionate about doing ministry, passionate about funding it, or disobedient. That's
Bingo.
The only three things you could be.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. So you do ministry, and you do it in the inner city, but you've been doing it now for decades. This is 3 decades plus.
Yeah.
And you got to a point where you started a school, but I'm amazed when you tell the story of, say, the book Safe at Home tells the story before you start Chicago Hope Academy.
Correct.
Which I want to talk
yeah.
to you about.
Working on book number 2.
But this is the story of how you do the Little League, you're working with the kids, and all crazy stuff. We're going to be right back talking to Bob Muzikowski.
I've been walking these streets so long, singing the same old song.
Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their health care, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true health care, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like 4? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain. maybe from exercise, just getting older, that could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about $1 a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey there, folks. We're just talking about Freebird and Lynyrd Skynyrd. I'm talking to my friend Bob Mazakowski. Okay, the book is Safe at Home, the true and inspiring story of Chicago's Field of Dreams. So, Bob, before we get to what you've been doing in the last, 15 years since I've known you founding Chicago Hope Academy, which is insane, and I want to tell that story, we're now in the era where you're living in Chicago and you're working with poor kids in the inner city using baseball.
And then the school, of course, because then you have more time with the kids.
But you eventually get to the school, but you started with baseball.
Yeah, most of the students were from the Little League in the beginning. So, and now that the school is hot, we got John Garcia's graduating from Princeton. We got kids at Columbia, Brown, Yale. We're integrating Wheaton College. We have a lot of kids at Wheaton and play, and a lot of kids right in the military.
Does Wheaton College allow black students?
Wheaton College, President Ryken is finally the guy who gets it, right?
Yeah.
Because Wheaton always said they wanted to do it, but they didn't give great financial aid. And he's realizing if you want it, the smart African-American kids are going to get money. So Wheaton College is under President Ryken. They have special scholarships for kids to get money.
And so, I love it.
And I, even athletically, I'm saying, I was good friends with Mike Swider, who was a football coach for 30 years ago. And they're very competitive, like a top 10 Division III team every year. And I'm saying, if you want to win the championship, you better get some speed on the corner, So that's –
You're big into athletics. Yeah, every time I talk to you, I laugh because you're like you're speaking a secret language of somebody who is like totally into the world.
Well, that's the kids. If you tell the kids and you say, we're going to have a Bible study and come, they ain't come. If you throw out a ball, they're come. And I was like saying, it doesn't matter what color you are. You want to have fun, and then you could get the gospel in there. So, but you have to they don't care. They don't know how much you care until they see how much, they don't care how much you know until they see how much you care. So that's how, and sports are a carrot, right? And at Hope, you don't have to be an athlete to come to Hope, but we make people work out and get in shape. You oxygenate through exercise, and we have become very competitive athletically, like maybe people view us as too much of a jock school, maybe, but we're student athletes. We keep Jesus first, school second, sports third.
I was on the math team at Danbury High School. Okay, that's true. That's actually true. But I was also on cross country and track, so shut up.
Character builder.
All right, so now look, let me ask. You tell a lot of stories. I've heard you tell these amazing stories over the years. A lot of them are in the book, Safe at Home. Now, the movie, when they made the movie, I remember you telling me that there was a problem because they had the little black kids cursing, and you said we wouldn't allow that. They don't do that.
Yeah.
And they said, no, to make it realistic.
Yeah, so it's
like
funny.
It's almost like Hollywood is racist, and they think, oh, no, they got to be
unbelievably racist under the guise of being hip to the scene, right? So I don't know they're making a movie. I get 20 phone calls, San Francisco. Hey, Bob, they're making your movie. Keanu Reeves plays Bob Mazakowski, former alcoholic turned devout Christian in Hardball. I didn't know.
Well, wait a minute.
So they're making a movie.
Wait, the movie's Hardball. How can they make a movie from your book if they didn't ask
it's
you
not
for the
from
rights?
My, they aren't saying it's from my book. We've been Channel 7, a lot of specials on us and all that kind of stuff. So they're saying it's based on a true story but not about me. When the movie opens with the bar fight where he cuts his hand in the glass and then is forced to coach, and they have an R-rated film with 9-year-old, this character G-Baby, the main boy character who gets killed, calling their coach mother and bitch. And so we say, wait a minute, that's not how it works. So we have to sue, and I hate what a litigious society we become. So I didn't want to sue anybody, but based on a true story, they got a scene with Keanu Reeves shoving a black kid saying F you. based on a true story. That doesn't help my 150 coaches on Friday night when someone's smoking crack seeing a white coach based on a dude shoving a black kid, right? So we have to sue Paramount Pictures, and we beat their law firm, Jenner & Block. It was like my cousin Vinny. Pro se, myself and a couple other guys, not lawyers, beat Jenner & Block in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals on a motion to dismiss. So now they have to deal with us. So we're deposing Gatton, Tolan & Robbins, I think their name was, the producers who have an R-rated film, and they say, why are you doing it? They say, we want to make it real. And I say, where do you live? And they say, Santa Monica. And I say, do you know any black kids? Have you ever coached a black kid in your life? And they're like, humming, 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 right? So they don't really know. And this is what they've done, Hollywood. This is how you are. This is how you talk. This is how you act. This is who you are. And so that's a little bit of a self-fulfilling problem. They know nothing. If a black kid was in their neighborhood, they'd call the cops. So it was so offensive. So they end up changing it. It actually worked to their benefit. The movie grossed a lot.
Okay, wait. So you sued them.
We forced them to change it.
Would take out
the foul language.
The foul language coming out of the mouths of these little black kids.
And the scene where the coaches are treating the kid maliciously and coach it. So we have a moral victory. Right. No dough, but a moral victory.
Okay, you didn't get money, but you proved your point.
Yeah, on summary judgment, we lost, and the judge said, no, you don't have to pay them any of their fees because this is really close. And Judge Koukouras was in Jenner & Block skybox at a baseball game during this thing.
Koukouras, is that Greek?
Yeah, he was the judge.
The Chicago Greeks can be corrupt, ladies
yeah.
and gentlemen.
Some Everybody, them, I'm not judging Koukouras, but it was just a little fishy. But anyway, we had a moral victory. They changed it to PG-13 and obviously made a lot more money because a lot of people don't go to ours. If you do see this movie, they took Christ out of it, obviously. The guy has a catharsis. But if you don't cry at this movie, you're not breathing. So anyway, that's it. We never solicit publicity on it, so that's just the way it was. That was my experience with Hollywood. It was a bad one, and they're not. I mean, I'm sure there's some good people out there, but we didn't experience that.
You didn't meet any of them. That's maybe.
I think Reeves, I'm a good guy. We've deposed Diane Lane. She seemed like a nice woman. She's from here. Anyway, from what I read, Keanu Reeves is a pretty good guy.
But so the movie Hardball, they say based on a true story, they didn't pay you for the rights.
No, you're correct.
Because they're skunks.
Yeah.
But basically, it's your story, and you managed to sue to get them to do it real, which means the black kids are not cursing out the coaches.
The kids swear at each other, but you're never going to swear at a coach. You ain't going to play.
That's right. We'll be right back.
Blue jean baby, L.A. lady.
Folks, I'm talking to Bob Mazakowski. The book is Safe at Home by Bob Mazakowski. Bob, I want to talk to you about Black Lives Matter. I want to talk to you about inner city shootings in Chicago. I want to talk to you about the mayor of Chicago. I want to talk to you about all that crazy hot stuff, but not yet. Because you got crazy stuff to say that I want my audience to hear. I cannot get over. I spoke to you last night, and I said we've got to talk about this on the program. But let's go back. The movie gets made. You get a moment of fame. I hope people gave more money so that you could continue to do what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
When did you decide I'm going to go from Little League ministry, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
to creating a school, an overtly Christian school in the inner city?
Right. So Little League ministry, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Young Life, all great stuff. But kids don't have to do that. They have to go to school. So we homeschooled our own K-8 and a local Catholic school. My wife became a Christian at her high school, Brentwood Academy in Nashville. And most Christian high schools, I ask this question a lot, should Christian high schools be only for rich kids? I'm asking you.
I'm going to say no.
Should they be racially segregated?
Well, let me think. No.
But in reality, they kind of look like that, right?
Yeah.
Because of the economics of it. It's an independent school, right? Kids have got to be able to pay tuition. So when the local Catholic school shut, I had just sold a business. And so I stroked a check to buy St. Calista's first school the Archdiocese sold to somebody. They'd rent a lot of them and all that. And this is in 2004, right? And it's three blocks from my home. 150 Catholic schools have closed in Chicago since 1980. And the gangs filled the void of the parish. I grew up in a Catholic school in Bayonne, New Jersey, 9 years of nuns, 4 years all boys Catholic high school. I had a great experience. Great experience. I didn't see the abuse or whatever that was. So in 90, I think it's like 97% of the priests never did anything like that. So we bought it, and it was amazing that they sold it to an evangelical group. They knew we were not a Catholic school, and I'm a big heel of the Catholics and Protestants. I think it was Ben Franklin in the Revolution said, "Gentlemen, we must hang together or we will surely hang separately." So we need to stand shoulder to shoulder with our Catholic brothers and sisters.
It wasn't Franklin, but it was one of those guys.
Yeah, one of those guys.
Well, yeah, I'm with you, right? Yeah. I'm not Catholic, but yeah. I'm a very pro-Catholic, non-Catholic, especially when you're talking about, you know, living on the front lines.
Sure.
Here you are in the inner city. There's shootings, there's crime, there's drugs. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're going to work with anybody that's on your team.
Yeah, so we opened a school with 100 freshmen and sophomores, my daughter Sammy was the first white student in Bow the following year. And the school is more integrated now, but we were almost an all-black school.
So you
it was a rough bunch.
You got seven kids.
Yeah.
And you claim not to be Catholic. Can you explain that?
We don't know many Catholics. The big families now are the evangelical families. We have a family at Chicago Hope with 12, the Willises.
Love it.
Best-behaved children. My kids are very well-behaved, spectacular. But
you know, I have a theory about this. The more kids you have, you go, as a parent, from man-on-man to zone.
Yeah.
And then the kids police themselves.
Yeah, and it's higher expectations, right? Like, you can't be the last one in the van on Sunday morning. Like, we're going, right? So my wife, spectacular job. I did Spanish. I'm fluent in Spanish and sports. I was the athletic director.
Okay.
So anyway, Hope sort of flows like a homeschool. We got kids that can barely read, and we got kids that got into Princeton, right? So we have that whole gamut. And informally, there's kind of tracks, right? And you go. So we play sports. Fun, quick story. We're playing football, and most Christian schools don't do that because you need too many guys and it costs more money. And we open, and we have only two games. So somebody drops football the week before the season, so everybody in the Catholic League has an open date. And I'm picking up the phone. Hey, I see you have an open date. I'm Bob from Chicago Hope, and they don't want to forfeit the weekend, so they play us. And we open up with St. Ignatius, 120-year-old, 1,600-student high school. It's, I think, maybe the best academic high school in Chicago. They're not an athletic powerhouse, but they got 1,600 kids. So we're playing them, and Steve Cortez was the assistant coach. And he says, "Bob, you know, it's the opening of the brand new field and track. There's going to be a lot of people there. We won't run up the score. Don't worry." So
wait, Steve said this?
Yeah.
So he was just
being
polite.
We're a brand new school.
He
was being a nice guy.
We don't want to embarrass you.
Correct.
We're going to crush you, but not that badly.
Yeah, we won't run it up.
Right.
Because there's going to be a lot of people. And this is a champagne and caviar. This is not a hot dog crowd, all right?
Uh-huh.
This is a high-end school. I think it's like 18,000.
We ain't the jet set. Okay.
Yeah, so we go there.
This is the jet set.
And I remember speed in football kills. So some big donors came at halftime to just see, and the score was like 26-6. And they said to my wife and our fans that were there, our 50 fans, they had 1,000, that, "Hey, that's not bad, 26-6. And Tina looks at him and says, "We're winning." We ran them off the field.
Okay, so you guys...
We ran St. Ignatius off
you
the field.
Had
at
speed.
Their opening day.
You had
Romel Robinson at a 250, who was later on stabbed to death. But
now,
it
sounds like a very racist thing to imply that black people, on balance, tend to be faster than skinny white people.
I would say really fit, athletic black kids tend
obviously
to be faster. And there's a lot of
the point is you kicked their butt.
Yeah.
26-6 halftime.
Yeah. It was probably a final 32-20, something like that. But we won. And we've been winning ever since.
So when he said they weren't going to like beat you that bad,
I did use that.
He really meant it.
I wasn't the coach, but I did use that in the pregame talk. So,
is that right?
Yeah, he meant it because we're a brand new school.
I just find
we're brand new high school.
We're not going to beat you that bad. In fact, we'll let you win. So you win.
Yeah.
And the successes that you've had, we'll never get it into the show because I want to talk to you about Black Lives Matter and shootings and all this stuff. But it has been such a success story. But because I know you, I know it's been an insane struggle to get people on board to understand what you're doing. You know,
yeah, it's an independent school now. Obviously, we're still open. It's at year 17. We have a lot of alumni who graduated college and now are at the school working full time.
Yeah.
And so, but it's an independent school for poor kids. So the math really doesn't work, right? So you got to raise a lot of money. And the kids pay a lot. If I had $1 billion, we'd make them. The kids pay all they can. So a lot of kids are paying $200 a month. If you're not, if you don't have any money, you do work study, your parents work in the cafeteria. And often people get a few months behind and we'll say, what's up? And they'll say, well, I lost my job. And we say, okay, you're in the cafeteria Monday, Wednesday, and Friday then. And they're like, whoa. I'm like, no, I'm here at 6 a.m. So it's often. So you're working in the cafeteria if you don't have any money because you lost your job, right? And so we can have those uncomfortable conversations, which in the end people really appreciate.
Of course.
In the wintertime. So we've been open since August. We didn't close for COVID. So in droves, some are on Zoom, some are in every day. Seniors are in every day. So we balance it out, and we've had kids get COVID. Seven students got it, maybe more. They might have got it at seven, one hospitalized, six not. Teachers have got
yes,
it, one hospitalized.
Yes. Yeah. So, hold on. We're going to a break. Sorry. We'll be right back. Talking to Bob Mazurkowski. The book is Safe at Home. How about that Bob Mazurkowski, kids?
Wow, huh? Bob, huh? He's great. Huh? He's great.
And he hasn't even told half of the stories.
No.
We're
going
to have him on in hour two to tell the rest of the story. And we're going to have this up on YouTube today.
Yeah.
If you want to see what Bob looks like. It's not pretty, folks.
He looks like Keanu Reeves, oddly
enough. Exactly like Keanu Reeves.
Exactly.
Like 50 years in the future.
That's true.
No, Bob, actually, he's been a friend for so long, and he's got the most amazing family. They're amazing people, and he's an amazing person. So I hope people stay tuned for the rest. We've got more with Bob Mazurkowski. But, Alvin, before we go to the end of the first hour, I just want to say, have we mentioned Nutramedics today?
Not yet.
An email from somebody the other day saying, I want to get Relief Factor, and I want to use the code Eric. I don't see how to do it. And you know why that is? Because there's no code on Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a tremendous product that I take every single day, but there's no code. Nutramedics, they sell all the stuff you should take. The zinc, the magnesium, the vitamin D with the vitamin K, and all the different kinds of the melatonin and stevia and a lot of other more complicated things. When you go there, you save 20% if you use the code ERIC.
That's
and I
correct.
Want to tell people,
yeah.
We are going to have the founder of Nutramedics on very soon, so you'll hear more. Because they give 50% of all of their profits to missions, to global charities. It's a big deal, folks. We have to support the companies that share our values because they're people. We finally come to a point in the culture where you realize how tough things are and how people are using money to work against what most Americans believe in, whether it's Google or Facebook or any of these woke companies. I hope you're not drinking any Coca-Cola products.
No.
And I hope, God forbid, you don't ever wear Nike shoes again, please, because these companies have given, they are absolutely in bed, whether they know it or not, with the communist Chinese. Forgive me for cutting to the chase.
Well, Ann and I have done our part. We switched to Dr. Pepper.
Is that true?
Yeah, no, seriously.
Are you sure Dr. Pepper's not made by the Coca-Cola?
No, we checked that out. As far as I know, now somebody might write in and say, no, but we checked it out. It's a separate company.
Okay.
The good doctor.
Okay,
like
but Dr. Pepper is not really a cola for cola. Look, I don't care what you do. I'm just giving you my advice
okay.
is don't buy products from companies
yeah.
that are, and Coke is one of the leading ones, that are not. Here's the reason, and I say this too. Everybody should write emails. People say, what can I do? I will tell you right now. Write an email to the corporate headquarters of any of these companies. All the companies that canceled Mike Lindell, all the companies that came out against, Georgia wanting to have actual voting, it's so preposterous. But if we, the people, don't take a stand, and I'm being serious, people complain and they say, what can I do? Folks, you can do this and you can get your neighbors to do it and your friends to do it. You can post this stuff on social media. But it's important we send a message to these companies that if you're going to play that game, there's going to be a price. And so we need to make them pay that price. We need to make them say that, okay, we're going to do what we want, but we're going to lose money. Or maybe we'll think about it the next time we open our big mouths about,
that's right.
These woke issues.
Yeah.
Now, I guess I also want to say I spent a lot of time with our buddy Mike Lindell recently. I was in South Dakota
right.
yesterday. No, yesterday I was in Minnesota. I was in Minnesota, and we aired that yesterday, right?
Yes, that was yesterday.
Okay, if you haven't seen it, I guess this is another chance for me to say, I'm on the road a lot, I meet people, and they say, I love your program, whatever. I say, you signed up for the newsletter.
Yes.
No. Folks, trust me. Half of our stuff is posted on Rumble. We're going to have stuff posted on Frank's Beach. We're going to have YouTube is not allowing us to post more than half of what we do. So please, 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 I know I keep saying it, just go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for the newsletter. We send you everything right to your inbox, all the videos, all the links. We do all the work for you. You don't have to go hunting to find out. When did Eric have Sid Caesar on? Is he still alive? Mm. No, he's not. But sign up for the newsletter, ericmetaxas.com. Yeah. And we're going to be back.
April 1968, by the way, when you had Sid Caesar.
That's way back. Man, I was just
archive.
A kid. But I don't care.
Microfiche.
Hey, thanks for listening.